Greetings and welcome to Don't Call It Jazz, KISU's very own listening hang from a jazz musician's point of view. I'm your host, Jonathan Armstrong. I'm a professor of music and jazz studies here at Idaho State University. I'm also a professional jazz musician and composer and saxophonist. And today we're going to be celebrating one of my very favorite jazz saxophonists, Sonny Rollins. Sonny Rollins just turned 90 this year, just about a month ago, and I want to celebrate his life and career with this huge overview of his immensely long career. In fact, he's still alive today, and he only recently gave up the horn a couple years ago, retiring from public playing. So, born in 1930, he was born in New York City to parents from the Virgin Islands, and he was gigging when he was a teenager. He was right in the epicenter of bebop and hard bop in New York City, you know, like the very epicenter of the entire world of this music. And his big breakthrough came in the mid-50s when he got a gig performing and then recording with this Miles Davis group. And in this group, they recorded in the mid-50s, about 1954, they recorded an album that was eventually released in 1957 called Bag's Groove. This is one of my very first favorite jazz albums. I listened to this maybe 75 times. I mean, I can't even count how many times I've listened to this entire album. I've transcribed solos from it. I could probably sing the entire thing from front to back. I just adored it when I was a high schooler and college student, and I could still probably listen to it today and sing every single note. So in addition to Sonny Rollins and Miles Davis, you got Horace Silver on the piano, a legendary luminary figure in jazz. You got Percy Heath on the bass and Kenny Clarke on the drums. And on one of the tracks, Thelonious Monk comes and replaces Horace Silver for Bag's Groove, and Milt Jackson plays vibraphone. So talking about just absolute titans of the music. And they got together and from what I understand, it was a bit of a relaxed session where they just played a bunch of tunes and people brought in music. And Sonny Rollins' compositions are three of the five tracks. You have the first recording of Arrigin, you have the first recording of Doxy, and you have this recording, Olio, a great composition by Sonny Rollins over rhythm changes. You're going to hear him, you're going to hear Miles, you're going to hear some really wonderful solos. So to kick off this Sonny Rollins birthday extravaganza, we're going to listen to Olio, Sonny Rollins' original off the 1957 album, Bag's Groove. Thank you. Welcome back to Don't Call It Jazz. You are listening to the Sonny Rollins episode in celebration of the man's 90th birthday. You were just listening to Paul's Pal off his 1956 album, Tenor Madness. Tenor Madness is kind of his first step into becoming a leader, into becoming an ensemble leader that's recording under his own name. Before that, you heard Pent Up House, another one of Sonny Rollins' originals. In fact, this entire show, except for a couple of exceptions, is going to be Sonny Rollins' compositions. Because in addition to being such a marvelous saxophone player, he was an outstanding composer. So to go back to Pent Up House, which you heard before Paul's Pal, that was with Clifford Brown on the trumpet. Clifford Brown, an absolutely spectacular trumpet player and really important figure in jazz, hired Sonny Rollins to be in his group, in his quintet. Back in the 1950s. And Clifford Brown at the time was the absolute epitome of jazz. He was one of the most talented guys out there, one of the biggest sounds, one of the most technically proficient musicians. And he tragically died at the age of 25 in a car accident. Just an absolute tragedy that you still feel the reverberations in the scene to this day. And in fact, that recording, that album, Sonny Rollins Plus Four, is one of the last times, I think it was just weeks before Clifford Brown died, that he recorded on that. And we heard Sonny Rollins' piece, Pent Up House. Now, the album in 1956, Sonny Rollins Plus Four, was released under Sonny Rollins' name, but the ensemble that he played with was absolutely Clifford Brown's group. And I think that was, from what I understand, when you read about Clifford Brown, that was the kind of guy he was. He was the elder in that relationship. He was the more established musician. He brought on Sonny Rollins into his group, and yet he still allowed Sonny Rollins to take the Clifford Brown group and record under Sonny Rollins' name to give his career a boost. This is the really wonderful man who died tragically. And then, like I said before, Paul's Pal was the next song that we heard, which was really Sonny Rollins' first step as a leader. That album, Tenor Madness, is just an absolute classic. And I just love the humor of Paul's Pal. It's just such a fun tune. And I think it really invokes the spirit of Sonny Rollins. Sonny Rollins is a real humorous player. He's a real light player. And yet he plays with such ferocity and genius, like right on the absolute edge of his ability and imagination. You can just hear him improvise on the stage. Just absolutely great player. And you'll hear this on all these recordings. Moving on, we're going to go to his next solo album, Saxophone Colossus, which was really his breakthrough. So he hired his own band for this. He got Max Roach on the drums for it. And you have a bunch of classic compositions, including this, which has become maybe one of the most famous jazz originals written by a jazz composer, St. Thomas. St. Thomas being a tribute to his ethnicity coming from the Virgin Islands, although he was born in New York. Both of his parents come from the Virgin Islands. And you hear this calypso vibe with the song. It's a real fun tune. People love playing it. I love playing it. Everyone loves listening to it. And this solo that you're going to hear on St. Thomas off of Saxophone Colossus is one of the more iconic jazz solos that you'll ever find. It's one of these solos that so many people have transcribed and analyzed and really dug into. So please enjoy Sonny Rollins with his original recording of St. Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Don't Call It Jazz. This is the Sonny Rollins celebration episode in celebration of the man's 90th year on Earth. What an absolute legend. You just heard Way Out West from his 1957 album, Way Out West. This tune's so fun. I just love this tune. I think it's such a great recording of this particular composition. And the whole record, Way Out West, is such a wonderful album. You know, I remember when I was young and I first saw the cover for it, you know, I was a huge Sonny Rollins fan when I was a kid. I transcribed all of his solos. I listened to him endlessly. I was trying to emulate him constantly as a kid. And I see the record cover, and if you look it up, I mean, the dude's, it's like so goofy. It's like Sonny Rollins wearing a cowboy getup, just standing in the middle of a desert, just looking off to the side. You're like, it just looks like a joke. So I always passed it up, and I didn't realize the genius of it until later. Well, when you really dig into this album, it's such a spectacular record. One of my favorites. It's impossible to say I love this artist's entire catalog so much. But what is brilliant about it is you don't have a pianist on the album. You got Shelly Manne on drums and Ray Brown, the absolute iconic bassist. And they're just playing trio. And they do this thing that Sonny Rollins liked to call strolling, where he's just playing over these tunes, whether they're playing Solitude by Duke Ellington. They do a cover of I'm an Old Cowhand from the Rio Grande. They do There Is No Greater Love, and they do a couple originals by Sonny Rollins. And it's just, everything just feels great, and he's just blown over the top, taking his time. And the story of the album is apparently because Shelly Manne and Ray Brown were so incredibly busy, they didn't have time to rehearse. They had never played before. They just scheduled the recording at something like 2, 3 a.m. when Shelly Manne and Ray Brown had a little bit of time. And I think both of them had gigs later that afternoon. They recorded till 7, 8 a.m. They look at each other. They still have more music to record. And even though Shelly Manne and Ray Brown had, recording gigs later that day, they're just like, let's just keep playing. And you can feel that spirit on this album. They just knocked it out like a graveyard shift. You know what I mean? So highly recommend. If you're into Sonny Rollins and you haven't checked this one out, don't be like me when I was young and overlook it. It's an absolute seminal record. Moving on, we're going to go to yet another. I know I'm saying this about almost every album. One of my favorite jazz albums of all time. It's 1959, Sunny Side Up. Now, this isn't a Sonny Rollins record. It's a Dizzy Gillespie record. But Dizzy Gillespie hired Sonny Rollins and Sonny Stitt, another absolute titan on the saxophone. Now, Sonny Stitt was normally an alto player, and he came out of Charlie Parker's bebop style. But then he developed his own kind of, like, I don't even know how to explain it except for just this sort of like technical prowess with like Bach virtuosity. Like Sonny Stitt was so clean, so grooving, and so brilliant, just really a fantastic improviser. And people used to be afraid of him. He apparently had a bit of a mean streak. Sonny Stitt, this is. And so if you did a jam session in the 1950s with Sonny Stitt and you played a solo and it was his turn, he would play like an entire chorus of the solo you just played while looking at you to make fun of you and then just start playing his own thing off of that. I mean, this is the kind of mind this guy had. Well, this album, Sunny Side Up, there's a lot of Dizzy's playing, and there's a lot of Dizzy singing. He's singing throughout this album as well. And then he lets the Sonnies go, Sonny Rollins and Sonny Stitt, and they constantly go off of each other. In fact, there's a legendary recording on this album called The Eternal Triangle, which is a burning fast rhythm changes tune, where Sonny Rollins and Sonny Stitt are just going back and forth forever like two prize fighters. Well, on this song, On the Sunny Side of the Street, which is just an old standard, a nice, fun standard, you hear Sonny Stitt first, and then you hear Sonny Rollins. And it's just a really wonderful demonstration of how different they are, yet how equally brilliant they are. And this is another one of those albums where I've transcribed a ton of the solos. I've listened to this thing front to back, back to front, and I just absolutely adore it. So please enjoy. Oh, and then at the end, with the vocals, that's Dizzy Gillespie singing the head out, and then you hear Sonny Rollins and Sonny Stitt kind of playing around. So please enjoy On the Sunny Side of the Street from the 1959 Dizzy Gillespie album, Sunny Side Up. Thank you.
Trickling down your fire escape ladder. Life could be so fine, fine as wine. I used to walk in the shade with my blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. It's over, Casanova. If I never had one cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller, gold dust at my feet, on the sunny, on the shady, on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome back to Don't Call It Jazz. This is the Sonny Rollins episode celebrating the man's 90th birthday, which just happened recently. You just heard The Bridge, a Sonny Rollins composition off of his 1962 album, The Bridge. So The Bridge is a reference to I think what's often referred to as a sabbatical that Sonny Rollins took from his instrument. By all accounts, when Sonny Rollins was absolutely on top of the jazz world, he was considered the jazz tenor saxophone heavyweight champion of jazz in the 1950s. And then John Coltrane came on the scene, 1957, 1958. Around 1959 is when Giant Steps comes out. That's when Kind of Blue also comes out, if you could believe it. And then Sonny Rollins was totally shook by all accounts. And John Coltrane was so ferocious and so strong and such on a different kind of like cosmic level. Now, I don't like to compare saxophone players because Sonny Rollins has such a different flavor and feel and humanity than John Coltrane. And it's like comparing, a perfectly ripe peach with a perfectly grown potato that was baked in the oven. It's like, how could you possibly compare those two culinary events? They're both splendid. You know what I mean? It'd be like comparing a walk on the beach at sunset with a hike in the middle of, the Portneuf mountain range. It's impossible. They're both wonderful experiences. And I feel the same way about Sonny Rollins and John Coltrane. However, I cannot imagine what it would be like to achieve so much as a young saxophone player. In the mid to late 50s, the man's 25 to 29. He's feeling like he's one of the best guys out there. And then John Coltrane, an absolute rocket, comes out of nowhere and obliterates everyone. Well, apparently it just sent him packing. So he just stopped gigging. He got freaked out by Coltrane and he found a bridge in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg. Oh, in fact, it was the Brooklyn Bridge, my apology. And he practiced underneath this bridge for hours and hours a day to try and rekindle some kind of love for music and love for his horn. And the stories at the time is that you could actually hear him under that bridge late at night. He would play all hours of the day, rain or shine, because there was this kind of like, you're underneath this shelter. Practicing your saxophone, and then you could play with this giant reverberation. Well, from that time, he really found this new direction with his horn and with his composition, and this album is a direct result. This is his big comeback album after he took a couple years off, called The Bridge, and it's absolutely fantastic. It is such a righteous album. You got Jim Hall and Bob Crenshaw on this, and Sonny Rollins is just in top form, as you can hear by this recording. I mean, my God, this thing is like lightning fast, and he's just absolutely on top of all of it, sounding incredible. A really wonderful record, The Bridge from 1962. Well, we got a couple more songs for you, and in this next one, we're actually going to jump ahead. I mean, I could spend 2 hours just in the 1950s. Sonny Rollins has such iconic recordings. But this next one, he ended up taking another sabbatical in the early 70s, and there wasn't any kind of reason for it except for, I mean, like not an external reason. It wasn't like there was another saxophonist that came on the scene. He just needed a break, and he had to re-find his love for music. And this recording you're about to hear is what's considered after his second sabbatical. And he came back in 1972 with this album called Next Album, with this really funky record. It's so cool. There's a lot of groove in it. There's a lot of really interesting compositions happening. It's a real kind of underrated record, and it's kind of considered to be his last great studio album before he spent most of his energy on live performances and live recordings. So off this 1972 album, there's a really great Sonny Rollins original song called Keep Hold of Yourself. So enjoy Keep Hold of Yourself off the 1972 record Next Album. Thank you. Back to Don't Call It Jazz. That was Don't Stop the Carnival off the 2014 album Roadshows Volume 3. This has been the Sonny Rollins birthday celebration episode, and I just love that recording. It is such a cool recording. It's such a cool song. And, you know, once you get into the 2000s, most of Sonny Rollins's output was live recording, live touring, and the man just performed constantly. Gentlemen, I play with Kobe Watkins, who's an absolutely brilliant drummer, lives in North Carolina. I've been playing in his group for a long time, and he got to go on the road with Sonny Rollins for several years in the 2000s, and he would talk about this song, Don't Stop the Carnival. In fact, he had us, his group, the group Tet, learn it as well, and it's such a fun way to end a set, such a fun way to kind of pump up a crowd, and as this one was just like 4 minutes or whatever, but Kobe said there would be nights when Sonny Rollins would play this tune, Don't Stop the Carnival, for like 20 minutes just to get the crowd in like this absolute frenzy. Well, I hope you enjoyed the Sonny Rollins episode of Don't Call It Jazz. You can join us every first and last Saturday of the month at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. You can also check us out online at kisu.org, where you can also listen to archived episodes from weeks and months past. I'm your host, John Armstrong. I want to thank our show's sponsor, ISU Credit Union. Many thanks to our show's editor, Ryan Tomlinson. And until next time, thank you very much for lending me your ears. I hope you have a wonderful evening.